We've been talking about rediscovering and renewing our vision and purpose here at Faith Family Maui. And we're going to continue along those lines again this morning until we all get it. Amen. I believe we're getting it, don't you? Amen. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for instruction today. Thank you for your help. Amen. Amen. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 37. From the New Living Translation, it says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Now, we've learned this, that we don't have to love people. We get to love people. Right? We don't have to love God. We get to love God. Right? And if you remember our five main purposes of the church, there's a lot of sub-purposes and all kinds of stuff you can mix in there, but there's five main core purposes of the church. Can anybody name those for me? All right, I'll do them. The first one was for worship, right? We've talked about that, for worship. That's loving God. The second one was for ministry. Loving others, right? Then the third one is for evangelism or outreach. Amen? The fourth one was for baptism, which is what? Not just being baptized in water. Yes, that's important, but what does that mean? Fellowship, belonging, right? And the fifth purpose of the church was for discipleship, teaching. Now, a lot of times when we hear the word church, we automatically just think of the church, the building, right? Or the corporation. But the church is actually made up of a bunch of little churches, and that's you. And that's me. Amen. So we are all the church. Now, to accomplish anything great in life, this is going to require us to have great passion. Right? Jesus, the Master, he was very passionate about the church. He was very passionate about what he did. And it's time that we begin to become more passionate about who we are as a church family, and what the Lord has called us to do. We must become passionate about the Lord and sharing Him with others. Amen? And this is what I want to talk to you about this morning, the third purpose of the church, learning to share. Amen? Learning to share. You know, when your kids are growing up and you give them a toy, they got brothers and sisters, you know, they get this new toy, they want to keep this toy all to themselves, but then the other child wants to play with it. What do you tell them? You need to learn to share. Right? Well, why is it that a lot of Christians are that way with the Lord? Where we want to just keep things all to ourselves when we really need to learn how to share. Amen? Share the Lord with others. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 2, and I want us to reread this text again. This is about the first church, the very first church, and I wanted you to notice again how they responded and how they operated as a church. Acts chapter 2, verse 37, from the New Living Translation. It says, "Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' Peter replied, 'Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God.' Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all." Wow. Could you imagine showing up to church next Sunday and there was an extra 3,000 people here? I'm a believer. Amen. I'm a believer. And if you had some doubt just kind of creep in there when I spoke that, then you need to work on some things in your heart and in your mind. Amen. Because I'm a believer. Praise God. "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. But notice verse 44, it says, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Right? Then it says, verse 45, they sold their possessions and property and the money with those who are in need. You know, it begins to talk about some financial things. You know, money is important, but money is not everything. Right? And we should share our money. How many of you share your money? Raise your hands if you share money. All right. It's important that we share money. But he was talking about something even beyond that. They shared everything that they had, not just their money. Shared their lives. Amen. Shared what had been shared in their heart and in their life. Amen. Because the first church, they knew and they understood their purpose or design to love God and to love others. They understood the purpose of evangelism, of sharing Jesus with a world in need. Amen. When you love someone, you want to share what you've got with them. Or you should, unless you're just really a selfish individual. Now, sometimes we can get that way about chocolate cake and ice cream, but we shouldn't do that about... Amen? Amen? When you love somebody, you get something good. All you want to do, you want to be able to share what you've got with the other person so that they can enjoy it as well. Amen. Why is it we have something in our lives as believers and as Christians that the world needs, of course? What is it about us that makes us want to just hold on to what we've got and not share the good that we've got with everybody else? Amen. We need to learn to share. Can you say share?
Share.
Amen. When you love somebody, you want to share everything that you've got with them. Now, let me ask you this question. Could it be, just could it be possible that we haven't loved the world with the same love that Jesus loved the world? Amen. Because love will always cause you to share. That's what love does. It shares. Look at John chapter 3. Let's look at this. You know, it's easy to become passionate about, other things in life. Is you can become passionate about your job, which is fine. You can become passionate about your kids, which is fine. Amen. You can become passionate about making money. That's fine, too, to a degree, as long as you never put that before the Lord, right? But we should be most passionate about sharing the Lord and the love of God with others. Amen. John chapter 3, you there? Verse 16. We all know this. It says, for God so loved the world so much that he gave. What did he do? Yeah, but he shared. Amen. That's what he did. That's what I see when I read this verse. God so loved the world that he shared. Shared what he had with the world. Something that the world didn't have. Amen. 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 That he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. God sent. Notice that. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins being exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. And there's so much in that. But I want us to notice here again in verse 17 that God sent. What did he send? He sent Jesus. And in the sending, he was sharing. Right? He was sharing. If the Father sent our big brother Jesus into the world and shared him with others, then the Father is likewise sending us into the world to share Jesus with others as well. Yes. Amen. And this is the third purpose of the Christian. This is the third purpose of the church, third main purpose of the church as a whole, sharing Jesus with others. Your life is a pulpit. Amen. The world is your congregation. Amen. Your life is a pulpit, and the world is your congregation. How you live your life, how you conduct your life, yes, that's important. But sharing what you have to your friends, with your friends and your family, your coworkers, to the world around you. Amen. Not just keeping it all to yourself because of fear, because, you know, you have to be politically correct, you have to be a certain way, you don't want people to think that you're a weirdo. Listen, you are a weirdo. That's okay. Amen. You are weird. So just be weird. Amen. So why is it that we are so fearful about what others think of us about sharing the Lord with others? I just don't want to say Jesus. I mean, they're going to think that I'm one of them. Well, they need to think that you're one of them. Amen. Maybe you need to renew your mind a little bit. And check some things there in your heart. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, this is known as what? The Great Commission. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, we'll pick it up there. And this was the Lord talking to the disciples, but this applies to more than just those disciples that were there. This applied to everybody. And he told them, go into all the world and what? Preach. Preach. Now, this word preach here in the original text in the Greek, it means to tell or announce. So sometimes you can get all weird when you hear that word preach. Well, the Lord has called me to preach, yes? He's called everybody to preach. Amen? But what does preach mean? Preach means to tell or announce. Amen? To proclaim. Amen. And he has called you and I to do just exactly that. To proclaim what? What's it say? The good news. Amen. The gospel is good news. That's what gospel means. Amen. Good news. And it says in verse 16, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to hold their hands or place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Wow. So the Lord sent or commissioned his disciples, which then, you know, we're all included in that. It wasn't just for the 12 disciples back then. Amen. This is for everybody, right? To go into all the world. He sent them to go and share. Right? To share, to preach, to tell, or to announce what? Good news. Amen. You have good news to bring. You have good news to go with into all the world. Amen. Just as the Father sent Jesus into the world, he is sending you into the world. Personalize it just a little bit more. Amen. He is sending me into the world. No, not to go die for the sins of the world, because that's already been done. But he's sending us to go share what Jesus did. Matthew chapter 24. Look at this. Matthew chapter 24. Oh, I love church. What about you? Amen. Amen. I love when the church family comes together. Amen. But I also like it when we all leave. Why? Because we're going into the harvest field. Yes. Amen. Yes. And when we come back the next time, we bring harvest with us. Yes. Matthew chapter 24. I'll pick it up in verse 3 from the New Living Translation. It says, later Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world." We hear stuff like that continually, right? "But all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come." Verse 9, "Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached," right, "throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come." Amen. It's a lot of stuff that's going on in the world today, but there are still people that need to hear the gospel. Amen. That need to hear the good news. There are still unreached people on this island. You still have neighbors that need to be reached. You still have people at your work, maybe that you talk to continually, but you've never ever mentioned anything to them about the Lord. Never even invited them to church. You've been scared to. Amen? We need to change that. We need to change our thinking about these things. Amen? The first thing I want us to point out here in this text that we just read, that we are living in the last days, right? We've been in the last days for actually a couple thousand years, but we're at the end of the last days, I believe. Amen. There is so much fulfillment of God's word taking place all around us that we could be the very generation that ushers in the return of Jesus. You may never die. Think about that. You may never die. This could be the very generation that ushers in the return of Jesus. How cool is that? Amen. Oh, that is so cool to me. The second thing I want to point out to you is this, that Satan is going into all the world as well. Amen. He is going into all the world as well. We see that in verse 4 where Jesus warned people to not be misled because many were coming in his name. They weren't really coming in his name, coming to deceive people. Amen. There's nothing original about Satan. We got to understand that. Absolutely nothing original about Satan. Everything he does is a counterfeit to the real deal that the Father does. Right? Just as the Father is sending people into the world to share Jesus, Satan is sending his vessels into the world to share a cheap counterfeit gospel that's not really gospel at all. Amen. If Satan's agents are willing to go, and they are, every time you turn on the television, they're going. They've gone. And they're there. Amen. And they are preaching loud and clear. Amen. If Satan's agents are willing to go into the world and represent him, how much more should the Father's vessels, you and I, right, be willing to go? How much more should the body of Christ be willing to go to the world and represent Jesus, share Jesus to a world that's in need of a Savior? Amen. Satan's agents, his vessels, they're bringing death to the people of the world. But God's ambassadors should be taking life to them. There's so much more to life than getting up and going to work and making money. And all of these things that everybody in the world has been guilty of getting caught up in. Amen. But you can't take it with you. And we want you to make loads of it while you're here. But you sure can't take it with you over there. That means there are other things that are far more important and far more valuable that have eternity attached to them. Amen. Amen. You hear? And so we should be willing to go and to share God's grace with the world, His love and acceptance with the world. You don't have to leave Maui to go into all the world. You don't even have to leave Kahului to go into all the world. Amen? Amen? You don't even have to leave your neighbor to go into all the world. This is our world. Your world could be your neighborhood. Your world is your workplace. Your world is all around you. Everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, this is your world. And we have been commissioned by the Father through His Son Jesus to go into this world, our world, and to share the love of God and to share the grace of God. Amen. We must become more passionate about the kingdom, more passionate about sharing the love of God than we have ever been before. We've got far too many Christians that have fallen asleep in church. And we get excited about coming to church and hearing, you know, fun messages. And they're great messages, you know. Thank God for His favor. God wants you blessed. God, oh, absolutely. Amen. But that's not just for us.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The real ministry is not here. The real ministry is out there. That's where it exists. Amen. We come here as a church family, absolutely. And we get fed the word, we get discipled with the word, we get encouraged, edified, we get reproved, we get corrected, all of these things, so that we can go out there and be a greater witness.
Amen.
Amen. Removing the walls from the church house. This must become a church without walls. Amen. We have to rediscover, renew our vision and purpose here as Christians, as believers, and become more passionate. My goodness, there are other religions, if you know you want to call them that, that are so passionate about, you know, their church and what they do. My goodness. Amen. You got some of these others that are just full on cults. You got Jehovah Witnesses and things of that nature. I mean, it's, you know, there's so many things that's attached to that. Sometimes I think we need to do a series and talk about some of these different ones and explain. Maybe, how many of you would like us to do that sometime? I think we should do that. Amen. But they're passionate. And you got the little boys on their bicycles with their white shirts and, you know, their pocket protectors and ties and the... Huh? And what are we doing? You don't have to get a bicycle. You don't have to put your white shirt and tie on. But you can have your surf shirts on at the beach. At your workplace when you're wearing your work uniform. We have to open up our eyes and begin to look and see. There's a harvest for the kingdom that is waiting for us. We have something that needs to be shared. Amen. And we need to learn how to share. Amen. Everybody with me today? I think that sometimes people are hesitant about going and sharing Jesus with others simply because of a lack of knowledge, not knowing what to say, not knowing what to share. And we're not going to be able to get into all of this today, but, you know, we'll talk about some of those things, about some practical things that you can share, some things that you can do, some things that you can say. Amen. You know, sometimes people just feel like that they don't know how to do some of these things. Amen. But when you begin to think about it, there's really no excuse for it, because when we don't know how to do something, If we're passionate enough about it, we will find out how to do it. And not just leaving it as an excuse, well, I don't know how to do that. Amen. Oh, this is good today. There's no excuse. Amen. As long as you have a Bible, you got answers right there in front of you. You got an internet, you got smartphones, you have so many books and so many things that are available. If you really, really wanted to know how to do something, then you would find out how. Amen. All the Father is looking for is someone who is willing and passionate enough to learn and to go and do it. When you make yourself available, you will find that it isn't as difficult as you originally thought it was.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Yep. One of the very first things that the devil will tell the Christian is that they aren't going to listen to you. They don't want to hear what you've got to say. Anybody ever heard that line? Yes. Oh, it's the same line. It's the same recycled line that's been said over and over again. It's the oldest lie in the book. Amen. Satan uses that on everybody. Many times people may initially come off that way, but the bottom line is they are looking for answers. They may not realize at the moment that what you are telling them is the answer, but they are looking for answers. And the answer is Jesus. Amen. So we need to share the answer with others. Hello? When you are sharing Jesus with others, always do it from a positive standpoint. Don't grab your Bible and beat them over the head and say, you're smoking cigarettes, you're going to hell. Cigarettes never send anybody to hell. I told you this before. Just makes you smell like you've been there. Amen. Or you're doing drugs, you're going to hell. Drugs never send anybody to hell. Amen. Stick with me today. Remember this. Jesus wasn't sent into the world to condemn the world. That's what we read, right? Amen. All of this stuff was going on in the world when he came. He knew what was going on. Amen. He wasn't stupid. He wasn't blind. He could see all of this. But he wasn't sent into the world to condemn it. He was sent into the world to save it. To help it. Amen. And we aren't here as a church family and as a body of believers to condemn the world either. Amen. So to share Jesus, you never share him from a condemning standpoint. You share him from a standpoint of being positive. You don't have to go around pointing out everybody's little sin. Jesus didn't do that. I think it's obvious people know. When they're doing something wrong, people know. They really don't care, but you know they know that it may not be right. Hello? Amen? What they need to know is that the Father loves them regardless of what they're doing, and he doesn't condemn them. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read. You know, let's pick it up at verse 11. It says, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. Are we giving you a reason to be proud of us so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart? If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Verse 18, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Wow. I know I read a lot of verses to you there. But you should take this here, what we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and begin to meditate on that. Amen. The only sin that separates man from God is the sin of unbelief. Not believing in Jesus Christ. All the sleeping around, everything else that goes on. Amen. Even though it is sin. But that's not what's separating them from the Lord. What separates them from the Lord is their unbelief in the Savior. Amen. Because the grace of God is here to help us. Amen. Blood was shed to pay for the price of man's sin. Amen. Man could not save himself. So the Lord came to save us. Hallelujah. Amen. So the only sin that Jesus comes to reprove the world of is the sin of unbelief in Jesus. Amen. That doesn't mean that he condones us going out and living any old way. It's not what I'm saying. Especially you're a believer, you're a Christian, you know some of these things. You have no business going out acting that way, right? Right? That should be common knowledge. Common sense here, right? John chapter 16. Look at this. John chapter 16, verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Verse 9. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. You see, when you believe in him, you're not going to want to go out and do all the other stuff. When you have fully yielded your life totally and completely over to him, you're not going to want to do all the other things. Amen. Even if people don't accept Jesus at the moment that you are speaking with them, always remember this, you are planting seed. Amen. You are planting seed of God's love, God's grace, God's acceptance in their hearts. And a harvest will come from that seed, whether you see that harvest or not. Amen. Remember, we are the ones that sow the seed, but God is the one who brings the increase. Amen. Amen. The Lord will use anybody that will allow Him to use them. He will even use you if you allow Him to. Amen. You know, never get this idea. I used to have this idea that if I didn't have a testimony of, you know, being delivered, you know, so radically from a bunch of drugs and living, you know, living on Skid Row and all this, you know, such a horrible life that I, you know, I didn't really have anything to share with anybody. The devil used to beat me up for years that way. Then I realized this, hey, it's a greater testimony not having lived that way. Amen. Than it is from somebody that was in part of gangs and shot and all this type of stuff. Hello? Amen? Yeah. It was a testimony of God's grace and God's keeping, His saving power, that you didn't have to do those things. Amen? Not condemning anybody else that did have to go through those things. But remember this, that a lot of times we think that we don't have anything to share because a lot of you have been raised in church, you know, and we really don't have what you would think would be a big story to tell somebody of, you know, God's saving and delivering power because, you know, you were strung out on drugs and killed, you know, used to be an axe murderer or something like that. Huh? No, you all have a testimony. Yes. Testimony of God's love. Of God's keeping and saving power. Amen? So one of the main purposes of the church is to share Jesus with others, to evangelize. Outreach. Amen? What is outreach? Outreach. To reach out of here. Not to be ingrown. Anybody ever get an ingrown hair? Sounds kind of gross. Anybody ever get anything like that? Something's ingrown. Ingrown toenail? Kind of hurts, doesn't it? Because it wasn't designed to grow that way. It was designed to grow out. It's the same way with the church. We can be ingrown and there can be infection that can take place because we're not growing the way that we should be growing and reaching out the way that we should be reaching out. It's time we become more harvest-minded. It's time we become other people-minded instead of just only focusing on ourselves, sharing what we've got with a world that is in need of what you've got. Amen. We must rediscover this. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Well, I'm going to stop here today. You know, one of the ways that you can reach out and one of the ways that you can minister the love of God to others is not just trying to cram Jesus down somebody's throat. You can preach the gospel to somebody by laying hands on them. They're needing healing in their bodies.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Amen. They don't have to be saved before they get healed. You know, the Lord, everything, every miracle that Jesus wrought when He walked the face of this planet, people weren't born again yet. But He healed them gloriously.
Yes. Amen.
It was His grace. Amen. Healing, divine healing becomes a dinner bell, so to speak. Wow, look what the Lord did. Amen. He loves to do those things. What if nothing happens when I minister to somebody in my workplace and, you know, something's wrong? What if nothing happens? What if something does? See, you've got the wrong attitude. You've got the wrong outlook. You've got an in-look because I'm going to be embarrassed if nothing happens. See, it's all about you. It's not about... Amen. No, stand on the word. I guarantee you something will happen. The Lord loves to show Himself strong. Amen. He loves to help people that aren't even saved or born again, Robert. He loves it. And He'll do it through you. And He'll do it through me. if we'll be bold enough. Amen. To actually say, do something about it. Amen. I've given you a whole lot, actually, in a very, very short period of time here. And I want you to meditate on this. And I want you to help us begin to renew your eyes, or begin to renew your vision about reaching more people than we've ever reached before. Amen. That's part of our confession that I make practically on a daily basis. We will reach more people than we've ever reached before. We will reach new people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But it is sheep have sheep, right?
Amen.
Amen. So let's go have some. Father, we commit this into your hands today. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit that helps us and that matures us, that grows us up. Lord, so that we can share what we have with a world that is in need. In the name of Jesus.